area and community garden around it. Seating area. This is in one of the underprivileged areas of my ward. There's a lot of Manitoba housing around, and they just can't fundraise. This is, so the breakdown so far is we've done an approval actually through LDR of $50,000 towards this project, and they're hoping to get, they've done $28,000 of their own fundraising and Sport Manitoba bingo, but they need some assurance of some $33,000. So I'd like to move that as a pre-approval from our land dedication. However, I think that there is a corporate sponsor that may be willing to come to this. But they need this to assure the community places funding that they have all funding in place. So by the time they fill out the application, we'll probably have something else. So I'd like to pre-approve LDR $33,000 towards Westdale Parent Group.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Any other?
No,
anything else to? Okay, so should we move right to our public hearing? So we have items 1 and 2, rezoning and conditional use of 440 Collegiate, and no one appears in delegation, is that correct?
Nope, we've got a delegation right over here.
Okay.
Where's the applicant?
Why didn't he come?
Sorry?
Why didn't the applicant come?
Judge Construction.
Yeah.
That's Gary Judge,
He's phoned us several days this last week and this week.
Were they going to come?
Well, I talked to him.
They knew the time and everything?
I talked to him at noon, and he said, I'll see you tonight.
Should we, should we lay this over?
Do you want me to phone him?
Yeah, do you have his phone number?
We'll find out where they're where they are.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe he's waiting outside.
So they're not here?
Kim's going to check to see if he's here because he said he would be here.
Okay.
But I'll just read this into the record. For the record, all persons who wish to speak or receive notice of the hearing body's decision or recommendation must fill out a public representation form and submit it as soon as possible. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the process the committee follows is that the applicant is heard first, followed by those in support of the application. Next, those registered in opposition are heard, followed by those registered for information. Finally, the applicant may return if desired to speak in rebuttal. When your name is called, it is your opportunity to speak, however, you are all needed to do so. This is the public hearing brochure, copies of which are available at the registration table. The brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after a public hearing. As information, all public hearings are recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department. And our items today are a rezoning of 440 Collegiate Street under file EAZ 226 of 2012. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely a conditional use at 440 Collegiate Street under 5 DCU 149329 of 2012.
Yes, we have quite a few. Okay, first up, Gary Judge and Grimmel Judge. Did you want to come up here, please? State your name and address for the recording, and you have up to 10 minutes to present your case. Yep.
Gary Judge. Mm-hmm. I reside at 156 Luxton Avenue, and I'm the applicant. As you know, we are in the process of purchasing 440 Collegiate from the City of Winnipeg with the intent to develop the property in 8 lots that are already considered an existing subdivision as they are part of the original survey plan of the city. In conversations with the PPD and the area planner, they are in full support of the proposed minor infill development, which is consistent with the city's development plan of the area, which is also consistent with the existing scale and character of the neighborhood. In this neighborhood, lots vary from 25 feet to 50 feet. Currently, 6 new houses are being built in the 2-block radius of 440 Collegiate on 25-foot lots, addresses being 346 455 Collegiate Street, 345, 482, 484, and 486 Ferry Street. Our company has just finished a 35-house development where all the lots were 25 feet wide in the Shaughnessy Heights area. The fact this development sold out within 6 months of marketing shows the level of need for what we are proposing here, which is single-family detached homes in a raised bungalow style. That's all I would like to say.
Any questions?
Yeah, I got just a couple questions. Thank you for your presentation. So you're proposing 8 lots at 25 feet.
Actually, 7 lots at 25 feet, and one would be 37.5 feet wide.
So why not just have 7 lots?
And just make them a little bit bigger. Like, 25 doesn't seem a huge lot.
On a 25, what we have found is that it would have to go through a huge subdivision process, so all the alignments would have to be changed. What we are proposing is to keep the actual allocation of the original survey of this area to be consistent. So that's what was planned for this area originally. In the airport vicinity, as you know, that if we do go through a redevelopment part of it, all the lot lines would have to be changed, which could draw out the whole process a lot longer. As we know, the market right now, especially in the month of September over last year, we've seen a 14% decrease in sales for homes, which is saying that the market could turn at any point. By delaying this process, we are also taking a huge risk.
A risk of what, though? Because the value of land is going to go up at the same time. I mean, your project may be building, the construction might cost you a little more at the construction cost, but unless the value of land is going down, how would that cost you?
The ceiling, there's a certain ceiling level of an area. In that area, you can only hit a certain ceiling regardless of how much you pay for the land, and houses will not sell above that point, period. So where we will be hitting the ceiling of that area with the 8 lots.
What do you mean by that? But the ceiling's driven by market, right?
So yes, and the market is taking
a
turn.
If I come in and I decide to pay you $80,000 per lot, even though you're asking 60, then the market says it's 80, right?
Right now, as we speak right now, it's not sustainable to keep it at that level. We are seeing a shift already starting to occur.
A shift in what?
Of buyers. Right now, what we have is we have a list of about 35 families that are waiting for homes in this price range that we will be offering these houses in. And in order for us to be able to maximize the amount, we actually paid the full value plus more than what the city was asking for, because we wanted to make sure that the city gets a fair share of the market value as well. So what we did was we overpaid for the property because we knew what the ceiling would be and what we would allow it to be at a selling point. So right now our clientele and our customers are all looking for single family detached homes. So there's 35 families right now that are on our list that all are renting right now that want to become homeowners. With the difficulties of the amortization period that took place with the federal government and whatnot, we're finding it a little bit more difficult to try to get these people out of apartments from renting and becoming homeowners too, so they can put up their roots here in Winnipeg.
But like, are you building the homes, or you're selling them the lots, or you're building the
homes? No, we're actually building the houses. Building the houses ourselves.
So what do you see that, I mean, that you mentioned the financial piece, so you see that, I mean, what would a house, I mean, you've done the numbers, obviously, so you said the house of a 25-foot, width, I guess, would be, give me the numbers, obviously, it's a public area, but, I mean, what is the difference in terms of the cost between that? Like, what would, if you schemed it out as 7 lots instead of 8, what would that work out to? That would be 25, somewhere around 30-foot lots, somewhere around that, 30?
Well, it depends on the R1M or R1S, which we are applying for. With the R1M, we'd be building the same size houses because we know that the market, the ceiling of that neighborhood could only go to a certain point. It can't go beyond that because then the whole process of approvals or, let's say, the banks have to do appraisals on it, it will only appraise out what that market in that area can sustain. So they will not appraise out a house higher than the actual market, true market value.
So you think if there were 7 lots instead of 8, that all those customers would walk away?
Yeah, they'd be 30-foot lots.
30-foot lots?
Well, that was just very bizarre.
But the contention is that, you know, people, like, you got there, I mean, how many people on a waiting list? You're saying if there are 30-foot lots, they would walk?
Majority of them, yes, because we're working with that tight of numbers.
So what did you, and the property sold for
$570,100.
Okay.
That's all the questions I have right now.
Okay. Any other questions? Did you have a question or?
I have a minor amendment. Okay. The ACG report,
yeah.
Entirely the administration's...
You can sit down now, sir.
Okay, we'll call you back. Yeah. What happens is you do your presentation, and then if there's anyone who's opposed to the development, they'll come up, they make their presentation, and then we'll call you back up.
Can I just mention one more thing?
Sure.
As we were talking about cost, also the cost upon myself as the developer is also going to be pulling the main sewer line from where it is currently up about, I think it was 200 some odd feet, which I would have to pay for, which is an additional $150,000 to $200,000 above and beyond what we purchased this for. So if you take that into consideration, you'll be able to determine what the price per lot would be. Thank you.
Kim, you were going to make a comment. Was that what you were going to comment on?
Councillors, on page 17 of the agenda, it's the second page of the ACG report. I had erroneously included the words in item 7 prior to the release of subdivision mylars. They're actually, if this proceeds as a rezoning and if the lots remain unchanged, then there won't be subdivision mylars required. It's a straight rezoning because the lots are already defined. So it would be appropriate to delete the words prior to the release of subdivision mylars for registration in the land titles office and replace that with the words upon demand. So the clause would read, the developer shall pay to the city upon demand $1,200 plus GST per acre minimum of the planned area to defray the city's administration.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we've got a few more people here registered in support. I've got Gurmel, Judge. Did you wish to speak? Just be recorded in support. Okay. Sarah Powell?
Support.
Okay, thank you. Maureen Perez de Tegel?
I support.
Okay, thank you. Mary Vi Castillo? Okay. Jeanette Vergara? Okay, thank you. Eduardo Sundiang, thank you. Apolaria Juga, in support, thank you. Ranjit Eswala, and in support, thank you. Rupinder Walio, thank you. Rohit Aurora, okay. Sunil Aurora. Michelle Gazze, thank you. Okay, those are all I have registered in support. Is there anyone whose name was not called who wishes to speak or be recognized in support of? Okay. In opposition, I have Doug Hutzel. Okay, you can come up and you have up to 10 minutes to explain why you're in opposition. Please state your name and address for the recording.
My name is Doug Hutzel. I reside at 450 Roseberry.
on the corner of Silver and Rosebery. My property overlooks this proposed development area.
Go ahead.
Obviously, I can't speak with the eloquence of the developer, as I'm just an area resident appearing on behalf of myself and a couple of others, seniors in the resident in the area that I spoke with regards to this development who didn't care to appear here. I guess the person most knowledgeable with the property would be Councillor Fielding, as this is in his area there. But basically, I'll start off my presentation by saying I'm opposed to development at 440 Collegiate Street as it's proposed. And the reason that I'm against the proposed development is that I feel that the 25-foot lots are just too small to have adequate enjoyment of your property. And as the applicant suggested there about he's based on his previous experience about 25-foot lots, well, I challenge that because I've lived in the area for 22 years, so I know what's going on in that immediate vicinity. What I typically see as a resident of this area on the infill housing that's currently being built on 25-foot lots is that there's very little room left for enjoyment of your property. And what I mean by that is after you put a house on this type of property, there's almost no room left for your own yard, for your family to enjoy your property per se. What I typically see is, well, not typically, but what occurs here is there's no side yards. So because of that, either your children are either in the front yards or in the back. Well, basically, there's little to no front yard and there's little to no backyard, especially if you put a garage on these properties. And what I see when a garage gets developed on these properties is the access to the garage is usually about 2 to 3 feet. People don't park always in their garage. They're parked half on this driveway, half of their vehicles in the back lane, or they're always parked on the front street. And many of these houses only have one door, a front door, no back door. So where do people access their property? Well, they access it from the front. So the front yard, or I should say the front street, is always occupied with their vehicles. Now, directly across from this proposed development is a double tennis court. So if all these houses that are being proposed for there, with the residents there, most have one vehicle, maybe two. Well, where are the people supposed to park that are going to enjoy this city property tennis court that's already existing there? A couple other points is when we have winter and when it does snow, the lots are so very, very small. The people that have their property, well, what happens when they shovel the snow? Well, there's little to no backyard. And what happens? They push the snow into the back lane. Unsafe. So I'm opposing this development on the safety aspect of people don't park fully into their lots because the lots are too small. And the children don't have adequate place to play. They're hanging out on the streets because their yards are too small. So I'm against the 25-foot lots. Something larger as, let's say, six 40-foot lots on there would be super. That is all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Just one question. No, I mean, so, you know, once again, it sounds like you're somewhat supportive of development happening there. It's just you think that eight lots is too big, and it sounds like you thought that six would be better because they're bigger lots. And I mean, some of the pieces you said, I mean, it is a public right-of-way, right? So anyone can park in front of the tennis courts. You know, I mean, you can't also restrict that. But so I do have a number of questions for administration, but I think I'll wait till the very end and kind of get back to them. But you're supportive of it, but you think that there should be six lots instead of eight?
Correct.
Are you aware, sir, that, you know, all of the other houses south of that site would about have 20-foot front lots?
Yes, sir.
So why is this any different?
Well, I think here, generally, the 25-foot lots that we see being developed in the area are, quote, infill housing, where they have to put these houses on those lots. Here, I think we have a chance to do better than 25-foot lots. That's what I'm saying, to have a better a better property. I can't speak to the to what the applicant suggested with regards to the pricing and the ceiling and the marketing, et cetera, because I have no expertise along the money lines of that. I just speak of reasonableness and practicality of your enjoyment of your lot, period. Especially, there's no side lots. I mean, I didn't start making reference to the fire codes, et cetera, that many of my fellow neighbors have said to me, well, how can they make those houses so close together? What about the fire and all that? Well, I'm not here to address that, that point or how the city allows that or whatever.
Well, you are aware we're talking about the width, right?
So correct.
It is, you know, the city has, you know, you are able to do a 25-foot lot in the city. There are some, you know, houses that have done the 25-foot here. You know, the point on, you know, where the kids are playing, I mean, the front yards and probably backyards would be very similar to what's probably there, right? There's not going to be any change.
Well, backyards are going to be about 40 feet.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I just want to clarify. So you're supportive of six. I mean, the report has seven 25-foot wide lots and one 37.5-foot for a total of 212. And a half. So that's eight lots, but you are only supportive of six.
Well, I wasn't aware of the exact dimensions of the frontage there. So I'm so obviously 6 × 40 = 240 feet, and I don't know how much the frontage is for this whole development. So if the math doesn't work out well, then maybe 35-foot lots, if that's better, something along that line.
It's 212.
Okay, I wasn't aware of the number.
Yeah. Okay.
My point is, I think we can do better than 25-foot lots.
Right. But seven lots would be about 35 feet each, and six lots would be about 7 lots would be 30 feet, and six lots would be 35. Is that quicker math?
35.4.
35.4. Okay. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Also in opposition is Tanya Pertson. Please state your name and address for the recording.
My name is Tanya Pertson. My address is 447 Ferry Road. Like Doug, I directly overlook the, I like to call it a park, or the green space in the back, great view of the tennis courts. So my concerns here in opposition are, where does it end? When I originally read about it in the Metro One, there was going to be five, maybe six houses put there. Doug said it right. When, like, where are the kids going to play? Where are people, bless you, going to park to enjoy the tennis courts? I often see children out there playing ball, playing catch, people with their dogs out there learning to fetch. And I don't know where it ends when, like, where we don't, we're losing a lot of green space. And how can we be sure? Like, I don't live downtown. I've only lived here for about 2 years, but I did grow up in St. James, so I've been at this place for about 2 years. There was open green space when I bought it, and I don't know how you can be sure that these places aren't going to become rental places. It's going to be people moving in and out.
I'll ask the developers when they come back up and find out, you know, his intention to ownership or how you know rentals.
Yeah, because he says he's got 35 people already in the market. Like, do they want these places here right now? Or, you know, is there something somewhere else that's existing? How long is construction going to last? I've seen other houses go up in the, you know, 25-foot lots around the area, yes, but those weren't open parks. You know, the sun shines down on the tennis courts. People can play on the tennis courts till the sun goes down. I see that disappearing, and I don't know where children are going to go. I don't know. I mean, I'm really sad to lose the green space. And I see kids doing somersaults in there, and can't do that on a tennis court, you know. And
so you're opposed to all development. Previous presenter said that, you know, he would rather six than eight, you know, lots, but
Are you saying 6 to 8, or are you just saying you don't want development at all?
I would rather not have development there at all. I would rather keep the green space there and keep access to the tennis courts, maybe get some lights up in the tennis courts so people can even play, you know, in past dusk.
Yeah.
Again, like he said, with the safety of the snow blowing, that's gonna it's gonna be tight. I don't know where they're gonna put the snow. Originally, when I read that there was gonna be maybe 5 or 6 houses, I didn't like the idea. But now that I'm hearing it's gonna be 8, that just seems really, really, really confined and.
How busy are the tennis courts? Just honestly, how busy are they?
Well, like I said, they've repainted the lines there now.
All day long, every day, or just on weekends after 4 o'clock? Like, when is there activity there? Given we had a very nice summer this summer, but
yeah, well, we like to sit outside in the backyard a lot. We can see across the tennis courts, and we wait for our opportunity to play. And sometimes we're waiting for a few hours. So yeah, it's quite busy.
Okay.
Number of people, it's hard to say, but I see them being used more and more, and I've seen people have group workouts in that field across the street, people training. It's a nice public green space right now, and I would hate to see it go. I don't think we have enough of it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm really nervous. I did not know I was walking into here.
You did a great job. What do you say we get rid of the tennis courts and make that a park?
Okay, we had some people come in support. I have Robert Ignacio. Did you wish to speak or just be recorded in support? And Marivic Gumpel? Okay, thank you. Okay, we had 2 speakers in opposition.
Was that?
Is there anyone else not registered who wishes to speak in opposition? Okay. We have 1 person for information, Kathy Ringland. Hi there.
Hello.
Just state your name and address for the recording.
My name is Kathy Ringland. I live at 428 Collegiate. I'm actually the property owner right next door to the proposed development. First of all, I'd like to say is that I will be sad to see the green space go, but I do understand that it's been declared a surplus by the city, and I am in agreement with some of the people in opposition that I don't think there is enough, that it should be left as a park, but such is life, and there's not much I can do about that. Would I prefer to keep it as green space? Yes, but again. The other thing, when the development was first, when I first heard about the development, I was concerned about having so many houses in that small area, or relatively small area. I did a cursory look through the bylaws and such and some of the planning, and found that it most likely it would be under the medium-sized zoning. I was very disappointed to see that it was going to go small, because they are 25-foot lots. Being, you know, that I do have the property next door, I am quite used to seeing the nice green space, and I really, it is not optimal to have all of a sudden, you know, my neighbor all of a sudden looking right next door at my neighbor. So again, my preference would have been kept it as green space. The next preference would have been to have the larger lots, preferably zoned as residential medium, if at all possible. Barring that, I would actually like to request that the lot 10 that is next to me, I would like to request that a condition be placed on lot 10. And that if lot 10 is developed, that lot 10 is developed in substantial confirmation with the plan labeled sheet 1 of 1, date stamped by the development examination branch on August 2, 2002. What I mean by that is that you would have the large side lot, or side yard, pardon me, And that the basically that the plan that they have, particularly for that lot, is in substantial confirmation with the building permits. And that's about all I have.
So just a question here. So you're suggesting that the last lot, that's this one, that's it.
How wide is your lot?
My lot is 37 and a half feet.
So it'll be the same as the one next to
me. Basically, the lot right next to me, according to the diagram I have, would basically be a mirror image to mine, which of all my options is probably going to be the one I guess I'm going to have to live with. Again, I'd rather either no development or that the lot sizes be more in the residential medium size, but
and the widest your open space is on the north side of your house.
Yes.
And you're hoping that the open space for the neighbor would be on the south side of his house.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so just with that, you're talking about medium and large, but you're talking about. You'd prefer six houses?
I would prefer if you do the math as has kind of been done, you could get medium-sized lots in there. You would be, of course, reducing the number of houses that you put in just because there is no more land. Personally, I think it would flow better with the existing neighborhood. I do know that there are quite a few 25-foot lots in the area. Some of them are due to old houses being torn down and new ones being put up with existing 25-foot lots. Then there are other cases where people are taking their 50-foot lot and dividing them in two, which they can do because there is this underlying survey. Do I agree with them doing that? No, but it's their property, so there's not much I can do about it.
Any more questions?
Thanks for your presentation.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, I have no one else to speak for information. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Okay, questions for the admin?
Can I ask that later, or could we do that after?
No, I usually give the appellant or the applicant the most.
Okay.
Is that?
Sure. Is that that's process? Okay.
I'm on appeals right now.
No, that's fine. So some questions brought up. Number one, some presentation where there's laid out as eight. Suppose that there's seven lots. What would the process be to realign them to seven lots as opposed to eight?
To make seven lots, they would have to go through a subdivision application. So probably what would happen would be a brand new application, brand new posting. It would be it'd be a significant time addition.
Right.
Planning and land use, we were supportive of the 25-foot lots and the one 37.5-foot lot because of the character of the area. We do get a lot of 25-foot lots across the city.
Yeah.
So we were supportive of just coming forward with the rezoning.
When did they say they were starting construction?
I don't know if he actually told me, but I think as soon as possible. I don't know if he would start in the winter. We could ask the applicant.
So if you were to change the number of lots.
You've got to put the waste lines in.
What's that?
You have to bring the sewer line up. That would probably be the first.
You can't do that in the winter, can you?
I don't know.
So if there was a change to the numbers and had to be reposted, that could be done within 2 months, right? Be back here.
It could add a couple months to the process, yeah.
Would they have to subdivide each of the properties, or they could do it as a block?
They would do that one whole piece, 440 Collegiate, and they would subdivide each lot out. They would do it all together, I think, because the lot lines now are 25s and 37.5 at the sub.
All right. How many houses in around the area are 25? Like, can you kind of just give us a breakdown of, I mean, what I'm interested in is how many lots are 25 feet within the area?
Well, if you go to page 13 of my report, it depends what size of area you take. So I just took a quick snapshot from Inglewood, so two blocks to the west, and then Parkview, two blocks to the east, and then from Silver, only about halfway south.
So those are all 25, the block.
Yeah, so...
And what are the rest of them, then?
The rests are 50s. There's some 37 and a halves, but I would say like at least 50% could be 25-foot wide lots. There are lots of 25-foot, and then if you go in the wider area of St. James, it's quite common in this area of St. James for 25-foot lots. Because this survey is underneath, having split them this way back when these plans were first done, it's not uncharacteristic for the area, that's for sure.
To have 25-foot lots.
Yeah.
Makes canvassing really easy.
In terms of side yards in the zoning bylaw for a 25-foot lot, you either have to provide a 3-foot and 3-foot side yard or a 2-foot and 4-foot side yard. The applicant has shown that on his plan that he's going to provide 2-foot and 4-foot side yards, except on the
motion. 2-foot and 4-foot with the current alignment, where the 7 lots and 1 bigger lot.
Yes, and about a 20-foot front yard and then about a 41-foot rear yard.
And the 20-foot front yards line up with
everything that's there. That's pretty much, would that be pretty standard. Much aligned with what's there right now?
Yeah, they would do an alignment when zoning gets this application, or else he would have had to come and get variances. And there's no variances with this application, just a conditional use because it's in the airport area, and infill requires a conditional use. Yeah, it's based on the sound contours from the airport, and it's to protect the 24-hour operation of the airport.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have an average of the size of the lots there now, nearby? Or again, it depends on the area?
Yeah, it depends on how far you go. I didn't take an average. I just kind of showed a visual that... there's quite a few.
James, there's just a couple of questions here just before we move on to the bringing back the developer. On the blackout lines on page 13 there is some, I guess it's on Parkview, there seems to be 8.
Yeah.
Was that a subdivision that happened fairly recently, or is that infill that's happened fairly recently? Or
I don't know offhand. If we went to iView and we clicked on the property, it would tell us when the house was built. So if you give me a second, I can...
I'm just interested to see how long ago that was.
You can just pan over.
I doubt if it's infill.
Yeah. And one further question while you're busy going on iView there. So explain to me, like why would they have to come back for rezoning? Like, why couldn't we just handle it?
Subdivision.
Couldn't you just do everything here and use...
No, Councillor, there's the lots are created... there's actually an underlying plan of survey that these lots already exist in their current configuration, and you have to make a subdivision application to change that.
So.
Yeah, on those lots on Parkview, one was built in 1991, and then one house was built in 1918 and 1913. So these lots were probably already existing at land titles under separate title. So it doesn't look like it was a recent, and then one was built in 2011. Yeah. Could have been a couple 50-foot lots that had split recently.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are, the houses were built in 1918. So it wasn't a complete subdivision, I don't think, all done at once.
Okay. Well, let's call the developer back up.
Okay, Mr. Judge, come on back up. Now, this is your opportunity to rebut anything you heard. You cannot bring in new information at this point, okay?
Okay, thank you. With the concerns that I've heard in regards to rental, all of the houses that we have done so far, we did a development on Redwood and Fife, which was called the Maharlika Prairie Estates. It was a brand new subdivision that we did. We just completed it about a month and a half to 2 months ago. We actually subdivided it that property into 35 25-foot lots. So that whole entire subdivision had 25-foot lots. We met all the criteria of parking. because as the current bylaw, as soon as we establish a brand new house here in the city, we must provide 2-car parking spots, a pad, in the back of each house. So what we usually do is we skirt the whole entire back portion of the land where the parking is going to be, and we actually put 3/4 down. So what that means, it gives an efficient amount of parking. For a single car parking, it's usually 10 feet by 20 feet. So what we do is we actually put 3/4 down on the ground, 25 feet by 20 feet. So it allows the extra room for an extra larger size vehicle to be parked in the back. In regards to the tennis courts, if the council would wish, we are willing to actually pay for any city signage that needs to go up, that if they would like, from 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. parking allowed for residential, from 6 a.m. till 6, well, the opposite way around, no parking to be allowed by residents. So that can be used during the daytime hours for the people playing tennis there. As we know, there is traffic there. The other thing in regards to guidelines, we will be building the houses as per bylaw guidelines, which allow for 25-foot lots, which means side yards and fronts and rears. In regards to if a situation comes up where the homeowner themselves want to put up a garage, what we recommend is putting up a 19-foot by 22-foot long garage, which allows 2 compact vehicles. If the homeowner does have a larger size vehicles that they need a 22-foot wide garage, we allow them to happen as long as they go through the variance process of the city, where the city will then determine if they will allow a 22-foot wide garage on a 25-foot lot. In the last subdivision that we did do on Redwood and Fife, we have garages that are 19 feet wide by 22 feet wide, also 22 feet wide by 22 feet wide, where the homeowners themselves got the variances so they can fit their oversized vehicles into the garages. In regards to... In regards to the backyards, again, it's still, even if a oversized garage is put in, because we are offering houses to be as long as between 40 to 45 feet, we will give the options to the homeowners of how long they want their house to be. So it won't be just one plan, one print that's going to go on all these houses. We'll give an option of 4 separate different types of houses that can go on these. The homeowner at that point has the decision to make whether they want to have a bigger backyard or a smaller backyard, depending on what the homeowner's needs are themselves, not me dictating to them that you're only allowed this much of a backyard. It depends on the homeowners themselves. In regards to why we put the application in as just a rezoning and not a subdivision, again, is because... In the airport vicinity, they use conditional use as an element to be able to not have to subdivide the property. That is the reason why we did put conditional use on it, so we don't have to go through the whole entire process of subdividing, which is not needed in this situation, because, again, these are already existing lots that exist at land titles as individual lots. So in regards to that, we are not asking for special treatment of what is not occurring already in that neighborhood. If you have noticed that, I would probably recommend, if you notice, even the houses that are on 50-foot lots, some of the houses are situated on one side of the lot, which allows that homeowner to continue on with the subdividing of their 50-foot lot so they can sell off their 25-foot lot. So whether you approve me or not for this rezoning of R1S, it's occurring out there now. Like, now the subdivisions are occurring